I hope that this morning you can recognize the efforts that our worship team and Kareem have made to paint the picture, sing the song, make the illustration, get the point across, inspire you, encourage you, motivate you, move you to not fear. The heart of worship, it's all about you. It's not about our talents, not about our intellect, not about our situation. It's all about you. Unto thee, O Lord, let me not be ashamed. Let my enemies not triumph over me. Be strong, take heart, and wait on the Lord. I woke up this morning with my mind centered on Jesus. Be with me, Lord. Victory belongs to Jesus, not our will, our talents, and a spoken word from our brother Kareem. What are we focused on? Well, courage with God in the midst of chaos and confusion. Courage with the Lord in the midst of this world. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the wholehearted worship that, Father, we have received and been a part of. And Lord, we ask you to guide our hearts, soften them, break them, mold them, reshape our mind, remind us, refresh us, and revive us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. It is said that those who do not come to God's word with humility, those who do not come to God's word with humility will leave with their own opinions. If you don't come to God's word with humility, you will leave with your own opinions. Those who come to the word with humility will leave with God's truth. I pray that this morning we will all leave with God's truth above our what? Opinions. Above our opinions. Last week, we focused on the fear of God. And that's a fear that so many do not understand. The picture of Aslan, we talked about him, this great lion in the Chronicles of Narnia. And that lion was to be feared, but it also brought peace when you were near him. And that fine balance of fearing the Lord. We talked about in the Bible, the word of fear is expressed in two main ways: the fear of God and the fear of everything else. The fear of everything else. The Apostle John shared that when fear was present, the presence and the activity of love was gone. And in 1 John 4:18, he says, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear because fear has to do with punishment. What was the main point John wanted to express? He wanted to help them to enjoy the confidence they had before God. He didn't want them to be paralyzed or depressed by the fear of judgment from man or from God, to approach judgment day with confidence because of the amazing and wonderful love of God. This week, we're going to focus on fear, but the fear of man, the fear of man, and how the fear of man can be so prevalent in our lives. We'll be trading fear for fear. God has a few things to say about fear of man. You know that, right? He has a few things to say about the fear of man. Matthew 10:28. Do not fear those who kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul. Rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Do not fear anyone who can kill the body and not the soul. Proverbs 29:25, wisdom literature. The fear of man will prove to be a snare. But whoever trusts in the Lord is what? Kept safe. The fear of the Lord, the fear of man, will prove to be a snare, a trap. A trap. A trap hunters catch animals in. A trap that you can't get out of. A trap that is painful and damaging and destructive. I was, and still to this day, and will be tomorrow, a people pleaser. That's what I call myself. In my nature, I'm a people pleaser. And there are 100 reasons why. I'll only share with you 98 today. My parents were hard workers. They were the first to graduate college in their family. And we moved into a middle-class neighborhood when I was young. And we had stuff. My mother liked to dress up. She liked things to be nice. I was the only child. And I don't know why that was. I don't know if they saw me and experienced me and said, we can't create another one better. Or they said, we don't want another like him. I don't know which one. You choose. But being the only child had a lot. And, you know, with that comes a lot of things. But I remember, I don't know, must have been in fourth grade that we were in PE class. And we were playing and, you know, we dressed out in our shorts and we were playing in the gym. And Scott mentioned, he said, boy, you got some skinny legs. And I said, what? I said, I didn't have any thought of what skinny was. I just knew they were fast. I could outrun Scott. But he said, I got some skinny legs. And I remember that. And I remember thinking, wow, I have skinny legs. And then I started to have a complex. And then that led to, you know, wanting, when you get older, you realize that you had some talent and you had skill. And so I played sports well. And I remember then thinking, wow, people are judging me based on how many home runs I hit, how many points I scored. And people said, good job, you're a great player. Wow, you're awesome. And I started to believe it. And then, you know, dressing up at school. I remember I had polos and Izods and, boy, people, ooh, that's a nice polo shirt. I'm like, thank you. And so, man, what you wore made a difference. That's why I love that we're doing the back-to-school supplies for these kids that are more that are unfortunate in their situations, and they need help. Because I remember a classmate of mine that people used to make fun of him because he had Bobos, you know, like these, you know, cheap shoes, and he wore these jeans that weren't quite jeans. And I remember the complex that he had and the attitude and how he was teased. And I remember looking at him going, wow. And so I'm glad that we can give these kids some supplies that will help that, that will encourage them. But then, you know, that led to me getting a scholarship in baseball. I knew I was going to get a full ride. That was confidence. that, man, I was good enough to get my school paid for. And then it didn't help that I was the best all around and class king. Man, I thought I was the cat's meow. And yet there was so little confidence, real courage, real confidence in my soul. And when Greg took me to a Bible talk in Gibbs Hall, and I've shared this many times, he gave me a Bible about this thick to walk in the dorm lobby with, to sit down with these gentlemen and do a Bible talk. And you know, I was ashamed. I was worried about what they were going to think of me. But just 3 days earlier, I was holding up a joint, and I didn't care. And now I'm holding up God's word, and I'm embarrassed. That night, I thought, what a coward I am. What a people pleaser I am. And I can give you many examples of how I wanted a good front. Shoot, I didn't even want to get in trouble with the law because I didn't want it to go back on my parents. I didn't want them to think I did something wrong. And so I covered it up. That led to deceit. It's not that I wanted to do right in my heart. I just didn't want to get caught. There's so many examples of me fearing man and how fear trapped me and immobilized me and gagged me into a silence and paralyzed me. This fear of man. Now, I know as Christians that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We know that we didn't choose our DNA. Our DNA chose us. We know that we did not choose our intellect or our physical powers. We know that we did not choose our families, our culture, our early education. We didn't choose those things. We know that we are not autonomous creatures. We are contingent ones. We're contingent ones. We cannot help but derive our identity, our value, and our meaning from external sources. External sources determine our value. We know there are two sources we can rely on, God or man. Two sources that can give us our true identity, God or man. And there are days when I'm in both camps. I'm in one camp one day, I'm in the other camp the next day, and I have to be reminded that I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and God is the one that's in the stands. He is the one I need to listen to the applause. He is the one I need to hear say, good job. He is the one that I need to go, blew that one, okay, but you still love me. I don't need to look for a man to do that. That's a hard thing to do. You know, the source we rely on the most will gain the most authority in our lives. The source that we rely on the most will gain the most authority in our lives. The source that will define who we are, what we're worth, and what we should do and how we should do it is the one that we rely on. This source is a source that we fear the most because it's the one whose approval we want the most. Whose approval do you want the most today? God? Man? Your peers? Husband? Wife? Girlfriend? Fiance? Boss? Family? Father? Mother? Yourself? Yourself? Let's not forget us. We could bow down to us. Now, God designed us this way. Why do you think God designed us to desire approval so much? Why do you think? Let's think about this. This is how we're made. Why are we made like that? That we desire approval so much? Or maybe I'm the only one. Maybe I'm just preaching to me. Why is that? Yes. Okay. Okay, tapping into his approval of us will help us to follow him, you said, or? Okay, all right. All right. Anybody else? Yeah. We're wired for connection, okay. Okay, we get it through other people, but the ultimate connection that God desires is with him. Okay? Yes. Martha. Okay, all the gifts. That means that, you know, kind of all the gifts that God has given us, we can use those, but sometimes we bury them possibly because we fear man or what they think. Or yeah, yeah. Okay, we don't want to trust God to teach us what we don't. We don't want to go down that path sometimes. We're afraid. Yeah. Okay. I thought about this, and I thought about my life and all the approval that I've received over the years by being an athlete, and I thought about, you know, the Hall of Fame, and thought about all the things I love, and athletes, I mean, you know, we get pampered, we get praised, and it's enjoyable. But when I think about God designing us or designing me to desire approval, maybe it's God designed us this way so that we could be motivated by these emotionally powerful forces because they help us to reveal what we love the most. What we love the most. You know, I know how much I love people's approval and hearing that good job. But do I love it more than God telling me good job? Well done, good and faithful servant. You know, Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12 and 13 says, "And now, Israel, Moses, what does the Lord your God ask of you except to fear the Lord your God by walking in all his ways, to love him and to worship the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, keeping the Lord's commandments and the statutes I'm giving you today for your own good. For your own good." Moses is telling the people to love God supremely, love him first, to love his ways, to love his commands for your own good. Jesus, in Matthew 22, says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the greatest and most important commandment." It's the most important commandment. They are both commanding us to seek the wonderful and great reward of God's approval more than man's finite, tiny, puny, fleeting approval. Do you know in 10 years, it won't even matter? You won't even think about who won the Super Bowl? We have these awards, Heismans and World Series and Super Bowl rings. And you know, there's a part of me when I watch it on TV, I go, man, that would be awesome. Everybody's saying you are the best. Dave Duvall in 1999 reached number one in the golfing world, surpassed Tiger Woods when he won the British Open. And David Duvall said, I'm number one. Wow. Is it all there is? And lost his motivation and his drive to be a professional golfer, the best in the world. I guess God designed us so that man's approval won't be lasting. That it'll be a chasing after the wind, like Solomon said. If you ever want to understand life, man, read Ecclesiastes. Solomon will tell you all about it. He'll say, it's meaningless. You're a CEO, great. You got millions of dollars, wonderful. I got the world. Do you have me? That's the value. So when we read that the fear of man is a snare, we must know that it's a trapping of a false god. We must fear the Lord because this fear is safe. Because he really is God. And his approval matters. It truly is a blessing to know and trust him. Trusting God is safe. Trusting man is not. And boy, if we could ever understand that and grab a hold of that, you and I can reach a place every day where we can say like David did in Psalm 118, the Lord is for me, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? With the Lord is for me as my helper, I will look in triumph on those who hate me. I had to learn, and I'm still learning this lesson. I was such a people pleaser that I didn't want anybody to think bad of me. I wanted to water down the gospel so they could approve me and God. And I realized that if the Lord is for me, I'm not going to be afraid. As a matter of fact, if they kill Jesus, they may kill me as well. So many of us in our past feared man, held man to a higher standard above the Word of God, and it's been a snare. It's been a snare. Well, the Bible says it. But I pray that we will be like Jesus and share the same sentiments that he and David shared. We have a Savior who did not fear man. We have a Savior who loved us enough to push his fears aside and die for us and for our freedom. We have a courageous Christ. We have a magnificent Messiah. We have a wonderful and super Savior. And this is who we are following, brothers and sisters. But it's going to take some courage. And I pray that when we commune together and we remember the Lord, we remember the cross, we remember the flogging, we remember the words of just disgust and spitting on him and persecuting him and belittling him, and how Jesus went against the grain of all the chaos and the confusion. Will you have enough courage to do the same? Will you have enough confidence in that one person in the stands that's cheering you on, no matter who doubts you, no matter who downs you, no matter what kind of peer pressure you're facing? You will stand up and not fear any man and follow our Savior to your cross every single day. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much that you demonstrate courage. Father, forgive us. Forgive us of our materialism, of our pride. Forgive us for the way that we have allowed man to sway our opinion. And Father, we've bowed down to the opinions of others. We've gone with the current of the world. Father, help us to trust in you, to fear no man, but have a healthy respect and fear of you. We love you. We thank you for the cross. We celebrate that today, how you courageously died, and Father, how you courageously resurrected, and Father, you courageously gave your life for us. We love you. We thank you. And we thank you that perfect love drives out fear. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.